Lance Koth is a candidate for the South Dakota State House from District 20. Lance, please remind us why you're running for office.
Well, JP, first off, I'm not running because I have an axe to grind or a specific agenda. I'm not planning to be a part of a radical movement in Pierre. I want to continue with what I consider to be good leadership in South Dakota, more specifically in District 20. Tona Rosem, Lance Carson, who are not running, have done a wonderful job. Those folks, I believe, have good intentions. They have the state and our district's best interest in mind. I want to continue that. And then if I can describe it and summarize it, I'm running because I like to be a servant leader, and I just want to be a representative for District 20 in that light.
What skills and knowledge would you bring to state government?
My background, going back, I was born and raised on a farm. That era, growing up, I learned learned how to work, and I believe that my work ethic came from that. I was very blessed because it wasn't a banking career for near 45 years. And that was something that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I saw firsthand the value of job creation. And I saw it from the banking side. I saw it from the community side. I saw it from a community banking side. So I personally saw how local owned businesses, I'm talking about in the community, I'm talking about in the state, given the opportunity to invest their capital and take the risk and the rewards that were there, how they could expand and hire and take care of their employees. So I saw that firsthand. I believe that my career in banking, of which a large part of it was in management, the last 20 years on a senior management team, that I had learned to how to work with people, how to work with committees, how to work with sometimes disgruntled customers, and then too, how to work with the federal government through our regulators, which was the OCC. So that piece of experience and how to work, not to get in people's face, but to work with, to understand and to listen, to come up with a solution that's the right thing for our state and also the right thing for the majority of the constituents.
What do you believe are the top three responsibilities of state government?
Well, that's a good question, JP. I don't want to reword your question, but let me share with you the three areas that I have identified as being important and that we must take care of. But kind of set the background. Kind of a numbers guy. I like numbers. I like to look at the budget. I've been able to review the 2019 state budget numbers. This is what I have found, and that is that 49 cents or $809 million of a total budget of $1.6 billion goes for education. Now that's K through 12, that's higher education, tech school, and the Department of Ed. 36% of the $1.6 billion, or $581 million, is to take care of people. That includes Medicare, state institutions, etc. 10%, or $164 million, goes for public corrections and courts, public safety, etc. At the tail end, 5% or $83 million remaining goes for state government, and that's to run 11 departments, four bureaus, all the legislators, those costs involve the governor's office, etc. So with that background, what's important for the state is I don't believe that we should spend a lot of time debating on how to move money from one category to the next, but I do think that we need to strategically look into the future. The number one thing that I feel I want to study more and look into is what do we do with the increasing population in our prison system, of which a large portion of it results from our drug and alcohol problems. So with that in mind, I believe that, we're going to have to look to find ways to treat rather than to incarcerate. Number two, medical costs. We are an aging population, and it's going to cost us more money to keep healthy, to take care of those folks that need health care, and in a lot of cases can't afford. One of the things that has been mentioned by other candidates already, I'm sure, is that the Medicaid costs that we have, of which 40% of it in our state, or if you put a number to that, $155 million is for services, medical services provided to our friends on the reservation through the Indian Health Services, or excuse me, that should be provided through the Indian Health Services. We're having to pick up that. So $155 million is a lot of money. There's a lot of discussion at the state level right now on how we might correct that. But I think it's an indication of the federal government not being able to administer at a state level what we best can do. I think there's solutions out there. And then third, and certainly probably maybe should even be the number one priority, is how do we increase our tax revenue without raising taxes? And I believe that's for job creation, and that we must strategically look long term to find and promote industries, biotech being one of them, and there are others that would bring in quality, long-term, stable jobs.
What letter grade would you give state government overall, and why?
I would give our state government a B plus. JP, I've over the last number of years, I've been up in peer through the banking industry, not as a lobbyist, but representing banking interests. Know a lot of these people. I know the Lance Carsons, the Tony Robbins, the Mike Valleys, the Mel Olsons, the Josh Klums. And I look at those people and said, you know, they're not doing it for the money or the power or the fame. So they're doing what they can to promote the state and protect us. And so a B plus is a good grade. I think they're honorable people. I want to continue in that manner. How to get an A plus, I don't know that we'll ever totally get there, but I think that we can do better to increase the care, the things that strategically that we have to look long term at.
What are your thoughts on how the state should deal with prison overcrowding due to the rising abuse of methamphetamine and opioid drugs?
I, JP, had opportunity in the last year to do a little of my personal research by attending some seminars up at Hazleton in outside of Minneapolis, which is the treatment center. I think it's one of the better ones in the region, maybe even the country. And I sat through a number of seminars, and the number of things that I heard that I had never really thought of before. Number one, I grew up in a very strict household, a rural household where behavior was, you know, you behaved. You didn't do things wrong. You didn't talk back. You didn't do whatever. But what I had heard there, and one thing that really sticks in my mind, is that addiction, especially if you get into the meth and the heroin and some of the hard drugs, that does something to the brain. And I can't tell you the doctor's name, but he shared pictures of the brain on what a normal brain would look like, and then what a person that's addicted to a drug or alcohol, what their brain looks like. And he shared with us how that a brain, no different to anything else, has to heal and has to be moved back into the normal state. Otherwise, the brain will override behavior. So I came away from there and I said, you know, we must look for ways that we can work with private institutions that have a proven track record of dealing with addiction. In other words, don't incarcerate. Let's figure out a way. And it's going to cost us some money. It's going to cost the state some money to not create a program that's run by the state, but to affiliate ourselves and support those institutions that are out there that know what they're doing. Thereby, it's long term. It's probably going to take years, if not decades, to turn the tide.
What changes, if any, would you like to see in the current K-12 funding formula?
That's a tough one. I can be very bold in this statement. Having grown up in 70 miles from Mitchell, 20 miles northwest of Western and Springs, out in the middle of nowhere. JP, I remember my first 6 years, I was the only one in my class. It was a one-room grade school. I was the only one in my class. Even back in that era, the population was dwindling, so there was a consolidation. There were three township, one-room schools that consolidated into one. So we had a two-room school. It was huge back then. So I experienced consolidation, and yes, it was inconvenient. Rather than a mile and a half to school, all of a sudden it became a 7 mile trip to grade school. My point there is I really think that we're going to need to figure out a way to do some consolidation, because we can no longer afford to provide the right type of education, K-12, by having too small of schools. We just can't pay enough. And I would just remind everybody that when we're already dealing with 49% of our budget is going for education, of which a part of it is K-12, but it's a huge number.
What would you propose to increase transparency in state government?
Josh Klum has shared with me, and I visited with Josh Klum, Tony Rosen, and Lance Carson, you know, those folks that have been up in Pier, and they've heard transparency. Now, I believe, JP, not just because you're sitting here, but I believe what you're doing is honorable. You're reaching out, you're getting information, and you're putting it out there for people to hear and see. It's not slanted. I think that's important. I think that we have got to possibly, and I haven't researched this a lot, open up possibly more of the committee meetings, etc., to the news media, so that transparent, so people can see and hear what's going on. I also understand that there are some things that have got to be held in confidence. I happen to be from the side that I trust our current government. I believe that given what they're trying to do is honorable. Should there be more transparency? Yes, there should. I think that the news media, especially on the national level, has been beat up way too much. Having them enter that world, put it into their on the radio, TV, and newspaper is important. So having, not closing those avenues, but maybe widening them just a little bit would be important.
What is your definition of corruption?
I believe corruption is something that is done that is against the law, and it will corruption will is a selfish motive. It's done underhanded. Typically, there's greed involved. I think that corruption can be malicious. It can be borderline lies. And I think that at the state level, at least, I think corruption can also mean that we might be doing something that would benefit not us personally, but family or family-owned businesses. I believe that is corruption, that there has to be that transparency in that regard, and that we must back away and say we have a conflict of interest, cannot be involved in that.
If elected, what committee assignments do you plan to seek and why?
I have already, in my mind, decided that I would prefer the Appropriations Committee, primarily because I like numbers. I've dealt with numbers. I've dealt with budgets. I've worked with businesses on budgets, et cetera, et cetera. I like that process. I like understanding the numbers. I like trying to balance things out. And I'll give you an example. No, health and human services probably would not be a good committee for me, because that would be a steep learning curve. But appropriations would be the committee that I would have an interest in. And as I understand it, because of the time involved in appropriations, that would probably be possibly the only committee that I might be on.
What are your thoughts on enacting a state corporate or personal income tax? Why or why not?
I am anti-new tax. I think that South Dakota, being that it does not have an income tax, is beneficial. I do like a use tax. I think our sales tax system works well. The internet sales tax, I think, was a good move. I appreciate what Jack Lee and his team were able to do, and then what the legislature did in the special session. I don't believe that a state income tax would be good for two reasons. Number one, we don't need the extra money. We need to live within our means. And number two, an income tax is too easily manipulated and increased, which we've seen in other states.
What do you feel is the biggest challenge facing state government in the next 2 years?
I believe that, and I've talked a little bit about it, I believe that a balanced budget. We live in a wonderful state. We balance the budget, and we don't borrow. If cuts have to be made, you have to figure out where to cut if the revenue is not there. But I believe the cost that we will have as it relates to our prison population, mostly a lot of it coming from alcohol and drug addiction, is going to be a tough, tough issue on how to fund. And I also believe that the toughest issue, that another tough issue we're going to have, is how do we, in a meaningful way, continue to grow our the gross national product in our state in a stable and healthy way. And with that being said, we are dependent to a large degree on the farm ag side. That's very volatile, and it always has been, and I don't think that's ever going to change. So how do we continue to transition into an economy that is more diverse?
What are your thoughts on expanding Medicaid?
I wouldn't not be, generally speaking, I'm not in favor of expanding Medicaid. Again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I believe that what we first off need to do is we need to figure out how to get the federal government with the Indian Health Services, get that problem solved. By my numbers and my calculation, $155 million currently that we're spending, that's already in the budget, could be used, and I may get beat up for this, but it could be used for Medicaid expansion, because what I don't know is the number of people currently that are not getting the care and I'm not talking about the Indian Health Services, but are not getting the care that should be, that $155 million would go a long way in expanding. I'm not in favor of putting more money towards it.
And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
The only thing I'd like to add is that I do recognize that we are in a very polarized society that generally speaking, currently is encouraging we have to win politically at whatever cost. And I think that's very non-productive. I have a lot of friends that are Democrats, and I respect them, and I honor them. My career in working in banking, maybe even slander, but I worked with a lot of customers and a lot of staff. My passion is to figure out ways to be a servant leader and to work for without expecting anything in return. That's who I am. I believe my track record is such where you can see that. And I would love to be able to represent District 20 in Pierre.
And that's Lance Koth. He's a candidate for the State House from District 20.